It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Here they come on third and five. Wilson, boy, somehow escapes. He's going to run for it. Plenty of green grass. Wilson stays in bounds. He's still going. And he's in. Touchdown. Zach Wilson pulling a magic trick.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Tune is buried. That was Sauce Gardner coming in hot. Garrett Wilson. Here he goes. Goodbye. And hello, end zone.
Van Dyke swarmed, swallowed, and sacked. Guess who? You only got one guess. Jermaine Johnson.
Here's Breece Hall looking for history. Hall with his 24th straight game with a rushing touchdown into the NCAA record books.
Listen. Thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And today is an off day. No practice going on over at Florham Park. So figured we would answer some training camp mailbag questions with our friend who covers the Jets for NJ.com, Mr. Andy Vasquez. Andy, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Scott. How's it going? And going to enjoy a day off of training camp with a little golf and obviously continue to sweat profusely. That's a big theme this year.
But this time you're going to be sweating actually doing the athletic activity as opposed to sweating on the sideline while watching other people do the athletic activity.
Yeah, thankfully people don't have to watch me play golf because it's not been pretty lately. And I think there would be a debate if it is an athletic activity, if you watch the way I'm swinging right now. But we'll, you know, we're getting better. Maybe we'll see. But yeah, it'll be hot, and at least I'll get some steps in. So you can't be mad at that. But I don't think anybody wants to hear about my golf game, so I'm not going to do that to you people. I'm excited for week three of training camp and to have a preseason game on Friday. And let's get to these questions.
Andy, it sounds like you need a golf training camp.
I just need to be able to play a few days in a row and find myself. That's all.
It's going to happen. I believe in you, Andy, just the same way that most Jets fans believe in this team this year. Not necessarily to be a Super Bowl contender, but to finally provide us with entertaining football, which we've been begging for the longest time as Jets fans. So this is the year that I think many fans are counting on them to turn the corner. And one of the ways that they're going to be able to do that, if they are able to, is with the offensive line. And the offensive line, Andy, as we know, has been getting beaten pretty badly in training camp so far. So Gus Toon wants to know if, and I quote, Houston, there is a problem. So thank you for the question there, Gus. Andy, you've been at practice every day, so you have a better idea of how the offensive line has actually been functioning. But I don't think that anybody should really be worried about it just yet. Remember, Fant was out for a bunch of the training camp practices and has been limited. Becton's been limited. They're taking it very cautiously with both of their starting tackles. So I don't really think you can read too much into it, although they do have a depth issue right now that they need to address. And it sounds like with everything going on with Dwayne Brown, that's what they're trying to do right now. And so once they do that, I'll have more confidence. But I wouldn't read too much into the defensive line having its way early in camp, because I think a big part of the reason why is that Salah is being very protective of his two starting tackles. And obviously, we know that the Jets' starting defensive linemen are going to beat backup offensive linemen.
Out of the nine practices the Jets have had so far, a bunch of them were not in pads. And defensive linemen are at an advantage there because offensive linemen, you know, there's just less to grab. They're not as big when they're not in pads. They use all of that for leverage and positioning, and it's not the same game. So you can't read into what you're seeing. What you said about the way they're rotating guys in and out is true. I mean, we're seeing, you know, Fant out there for, I would say, about half, maybe a little bit more as we progress into the end of week two of the drills, and you're having two different guys rotating in at left tackle, and Becton, they've been mindful of his reps. He was on a pitch count during the green and white practice on Saturday night. So when you have those moving parts and you have rookies in there, you know, playing probably before they're ready, The offensive line's going to look a little rougher than it was. It looked bad at times last year during training camp, and offensive line for most of the year wasn't an issue. So I don't think you got an Apollo 13 situation here with the offensive line if they can stay relatively healthy. That is where the issue is. They you know, once you get beyond the first five guys, depth is a problem, and it's very rare for a team to get through a season without losing a starting offensive lineman for a significant amount of time. And I think that's kind of the biggest worry, the biggest issue, and where you'll see a problem for this team if there is one on the offensive line. But no, I wouldn't worry about big picture this group of five guys. I think they've got to play more together, and I think they will as camp goes on. But all five of these guys have proven that they can be effective at this level, and obviously some of them have proven that they can do it at a very high level. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But yes, it's going to be important for them to get more time together as camp goes on. It's going to be super important for all five of them to stay healthy as possible.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet.
Andy, on the subject of the trenches, JP Waxer wanted to know about the defensive linemen. He asked where they're lining up in practice, and I know you can't talk about that, but what you can talk about is whether or not you've seen things generally that would make you think that Jeff Ulbrich has some creative tricks up his sleeve getting ready for the regular season.
Yeah, I think you're going to see guys that you expect to line up at defensive end line up inside, and that will be young and old. That's the best I can tell you there. They're going to be very creative. They're going to use the rotation. I think there's, like, you know, 16 or 17 defensive linemen on the roster right now, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they get that down to a number, which is probably going to be 10 or 11. They're going to have to cut some guys who are good, and it's going to guys who will probably get picked up by other teams, and I, you know, that's going to In a sense for Jets fans suck, but also it's a good situation to be in, and it shows how strong this unit can be this year. So yeah, I can't get into the specifics on that, but you're going to see some things you expect. I think you'll see some things you don't expect. And I think they're going to bring waves. I think you're going to see that. And I think this unit can be really dangerous and really good. And I don't think it's, you know, super insightful to say that Quinnen Williams is going to be kind of the key to it all. If he can take the step that he believes he's about to take and that the Jets think he's capable of taking, it could be a special group. It really could. And obviously Carl Lawson coming back is going to be super fun to watch as well. But I think when you're seeing the second and third waves rotating in, it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize these guys. And I think they will have some creative tricks up their sleeve. That's the best I can say.
Next question comes in from AJ Tranzano. He says, we know that Dwayne Brown was visiting during the green and white scrimmage. What are your thoughts on him? I think he would be a strong addition to the team. I agree, AJ. I think that getting Dwayne Brown would be the perfect addition at this point when you look at who the other options are. Yes, he's 37 years old, and he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning, but you're just trying to get a guy in here who's capable, and if you look at who else is available, he seems to be the top guy. He was a Pro Bowler last year. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. He's not the elite player that he was in his prime, but clearly, if he was able to make a Pro Bowl last year, he's still got something left in the tank. I think it would be a great move. It's just a matter of whether or not the Jets can get over the finish line.
Yeah, and that's going to be it. And obviously, having him at the green and white on Saturday night, they're running the full court press. You brought this up the last time we talked, Scott. And I think it is totally true that even though he only has experience at left tackle, that shouldn't be a deterrent for the Jets. And there's a couple reasons for that. Obviously, Fant can move over to right if the injury is on that side where they need the depth. And then you're pairing him with Tomlinson, so that would give you experience. If something happens to Mekhi Becton, it's even more insurance. You got experience with Tomlinson and Brown on the left side, and then Fant over on the right, even though that's not ideally where he'd like to play. It's not about beyond this year. I mean, as I just talked about with the offensive line, you got to get through this year and have quality guys out there. And having a guy like Dwayne Brown on your roster gives you a much better chance of getting that done. So yes, it would make a ton of sense. And there's a reason that Robert Saleh said on Saturday night that Joe Douglas has been working on this for a while, because I think this is a guy who could have the same kind of impact that Morgan Moses had last year. I mean, imagine what the season would have been like last year without Morgan Moses. If the Jets suffer a major injury at tackle this year, they'd be in that situation. So this would be a huge move for them, and it's obviously one that they'd like to get done.
Next question comes in from playlikeajet.com senior writer Tommy Griffin-Krantz. He wants to know if you think that the Jets could use bigger-bodied receivers like Denzel Mims or Corey Davis in the slot like the Packers do with Alan Lazard or the Rams do with Cooper Kupp. It would give them a bigger blocker in the run game and could provide a huge matchup advantage against nickel corners. So before I turn this over to you, Andy, I'm going to take a stab at this. I've said this before. I don't think the Jets are going to have any one particular slot receiver. I think they're going to mix and match. And I definitely do think that Mims and Davis will have opportunities in the slot for the exact reason that you said. I think you'll see Garrett Wilson there at times. I think you'll see Elijah Moore there at times. I think you'll see Braxton Berrios there at times. And assuming that Denzel Mims continues his strong camp and is on the roster and doesn't get traded or something, he'll get some opportunities. Davis will get some opportunities. I expect Mike LaFleur to get very creative there.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think any receiver other than Berrios, I don't think you're going to see him lining up outside. But I think any receiver who's on the field regularly is going to be a guy that they believe can line up just about anywhere. And that's not just based on what I've seen during camp, but also based on what Mike LaFleur and Robert Saleh have kind of been saying for the last year. And I think beyond that, they're going to get even more creative. And I think you'll see other stuff like guys lining up kind of all over the place, maybe even in places you wouldn't expect. So definitely agree with that point that there are matchup advantages to be had by lining up a big guy at in the slot. And I think it will happen with some regularity once the games count.
Next question comes in from Godson5. He says, where would Zach Wilson rank if he were coming out this year? That's a very tough question to answer, to be honest, because we have to see how the 2022 season plays out. We know that obviously C.J. Stroud of Ohio State and Bryce Young of Alabama are the two guys that are getting the most early buzz. There are going to be some guys that will emerge. You could also see Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud have their stock drop. We have no idea how this is going to play out. Will Anderson look to be the best player in the country at a certain point last year? Does he continue that trend? And maybe we see another year where a quarterback doesn't go number one. I would say if Zach Wilson was in the 2022 draft, however, he easily would have been the first quarterback off the board, and he very well could have been the first overall pick in the draft based on who was in this draft. It was a fairly weak draft at the top, and as we know, no quarterback went until number 20 when Kenny Pickett got drafted. So I think that's a definite. Zach Wilson would have been the number one quarterback off the board there and very well could have been the number one overall pick. But this year, there's just too many variables and too much uncertainty for us to be able to make a definitive declaration yet.
The main thing, the reason Zach Wilson got picked number two overall by the Jets is because he has some freakish athletic abilities and quarterback abilities. He can make ridiculous throws. He has the ability to make them off platform and be elusive in the pocket. And we haven't, there's not enough evidence out there that he can do it at this level yet. So that hasn't changed from when he was drafted. And there's also not enough evidence that he can't do it. And until there is enough evidence, one of those ways, it's not, the needle's not going to move that much on kind of where he stacks up. So I think the reason there's still a ton of belief in him in the Jets building, in the locker room as a quarterback, is that all these guys can see that talent. If there were too many other issues, that were overshadowing the talent, or if he's having too much trouble, you know, processing and making plays, you'd start to see chatter about, you know, maybe Joe Flacco's the guy because he's looked pretty good so far. There's none of that because everyone knows how good this kid can be, and that hasn't changed. It's still possible. And he's just going to have to kind of prove it this year. And I think after this year, you're going to have a lot more evidence, probably one way or the other. And that needle will move. But as of right now, I think he would be right up there with those guys that are coming out next year, because he still has, you know, amazing potential. He's still 23 years old, and there's no reason to think that he can't realize that potential yet.
Andy, that leads into our next question from Michael Christopher. He says, how long do you think it takes to know if you have a game changer at quarterback that can be top 10 in the league? When did you think the Bengals and Chargers knew that what they had was special? In your honest opinion, do you think Zach has a real chance to be special? So let's start with when you know. It's really impossible to put an exact timetable because some guys bloom later than others. But if you're talking about the reality of what goes on in the NFL right now, you almost have to know by year three and at the latest year four, because that's when you're starting to figure out whether or not you want to pay that quarterback or move on to another player. Because remember, the way the contracts are structured, you get five cheap years with the quarterback before you have to pay him or move on. So if you don't know by year three or four, you're cutting it pretty close. So I think most of the time, these teams want to know by year three or year four. And usually you do. There's always exceptions, but usually by the third or fourth year, you're going to know whether or not that guy's special. Now, sometimes it happens a lot sooner than that. Take a look at Justin Herbert. He clicked right away. He had the best rookie season of any quarterback I've ever seen, with the possible exception of Dan Marino. Just picked it up really fast, was making these incredible throws, and now you see that he is becoming one of the top five or six quarterbacks in the league. Sometimes it happens pretty quickly like that. Other times it takes longer for the guy to develop. Look at what happened with Josh Allen. Didn't really click for him until year number three. Joe Burrow was pretty good year number one. Year two, he really broke out and became one of the best quarterbacks in the league. As far as whether Zach Wilson is going to be special or not, I can't tell you definitively. What I can say is, based on what I watched of his film at BYU, based on the people that I've talked to who have worked with him in coaching capacities, as teammates, covering him both at BYU and with the Jets, knowing his practice habits, knowing the way that he studies film, just seeing the natural talent. I think there's definitely a chance. If you forced me into giving you an answer right now, I'd be on the fence, to be honest with you. I think it's about a 50-50 shot that he becomes a top 10 quarterback at some point. I'd love to say that it's higher than that, but right now, just based on historical trends and how poorly he played year number one, it's almost like when you buy a car and how once you drive it around, the value automatically starts to decrease a little bit. Some of that new car smell is gone, but that doesn't mean that the potential isn't still there. It just means that his odds of reaching what you think his ceiling are have probably decreased just based on the historical trends and the fact that traditionally when a guy has a rookie year that bad, it's not as common for him to become that top 10 quarterback. So I would say about 50-50 right now. We'll see how it goes, but this year is going to play a huge role because if Zach Wilson can at least make significant strides, it'll go a long way towards telling you whether he has a real chance. If he doesn't and he's really bad again this year, then the Jets are going to have to start trying to make contingency plans.
To directly answer the question, like, when do you know and like, what does that look like? It looks like your quarterback is the reason you're winning games. He's leading you down the field in key spots. He's making the plays that need to be made. And obviously we didn't see that enough from Zach Wilson as a rookie. We really didn't see it at all. Maybe in one or two games. That's what it's going to look like. You're going to know that he's the guy. If he's the reason you're winning games, he's leading you down the field. He's making plays that matter. That's what it looks like. And that's what it's going to need to look like for him to be that kind of top 10 quarterback. That's what it is. And like, I definitely think it's on the table. I think it's still possible just because of what he's physically capable of and the way that he looks at the field and sees things. It's not all the time. Certainly he gets locked in too often. And I think he gets hung up trying to wait for the big play to kind of break and gets himself into trouble too often. And he's got to do a much better job of that in year two. But given what he has physically, it's still very much possible that this guy could take a major leap this year. But like you said, there, you know, a lot of quarterbacks have played in the league and when you struggle the way he did as a rookie, there's not many of them who have ended up having those kind of struggles and then becoming that guy. So it is, I agree with you. I feel like it's a 50-50 shot. If I had talked to you, maybe, you know, after the Texans game last year, I know the Jets won that game, but I walked out of there feeling like, yeah, this doesn't look good. But after that, I mean, I'm still concerned, you know, about the lack of production. He didn't really get close to a 300-yard game, even when he was playing well at the end of last year. And that's, you know, not going to work. They've got to be able to move the ball better than they did with him at quarterback at the end of last year, even if he looked better and didn't turn the ball over, that's not good enough. But it was a tough situation, a lot of moving parts, you know, his first year in a new offense. I think there's definitely enough factors that were working against him, even at the end of last year, that there's an opportunity and a chance that he can, you know, take that big step this year. But I think you're going to need to start seeing it this year, that even if they don't win games, he's making plays late in games that matter and helping them get closer to a win. That's, you got to start seeing that in year two. Otherwise you do have to go into year three with contingency plans, because if he doesn't do that in year three, you kind of know. So it's a huge year for him. Obviously that's not breaking news, but that's what it's got to look like. He's got to be the reason that they're in games and winning games.
Andy Vasquez covering the Jets for NJ.com. Thanks so much for coming on and answering some training camp mailbag questions with me on this off day over at Florham Park. No action going on over there. That'll resume tomorrow. Really appreciate it. For those that want to follow you on social media, read your great work, how can they do all that?
Yeah, I'm at Twitter at Andy_Vasquez, Instagram by Andy Vasquez. I'm sometimes bad about posting on there, but I will get better. And yeah, I have a lot of great stuff coming up at NJ.com. A recap of what we've seen the first 2 weeks of training camp and what we saw on Saturday night, the green and white. I got a feature on Garrett Wilson and how the game of basketball kind of shaped him as a football player and some interesting stuff in there about his favorite team and how much he loves that team that he even named his dog after one of their players. And it's a team that a lot of you guys will know. So, be sure to check that story out Monday morning on NJ.com. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in that story that you guys will like. So definitely check it out. Let me know what you think. And yeah, obviously, as the Jets get ready to play the Eagles on Friday, we'll be at training camp every day and getting you ready for that. And down in Philly on Friday night for the first big preseason game of the year, I think the Jets are ready to hit somebody else, and I'm ready to watch them hit somebody else. So we're all looking forward to that.
Make sure you follow Andy on social media and read his work, including that feature on Garrett Wilson. Looking forward to checking that out, Andy. So go to NJ.com and read all of Andy's work, including that piece that you should be able to read today. It'll be up at NJ.com. Also, make sure that you visit PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. The Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Luke Grant, has got some fantastic All-22 breakdowns up there. So watch the videos and subscribe if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital at PlayLikeAJet.com.